Hello, welcome to SAP on Azure Talk. My name is Nathan Weaver.
My name is Ravi Kashyap, and today we are talking about the Better Together story. And Nathan, we talk about how SAP works with Azure or how Azure works with SAP. So there's this concept of utilizing the native services and how we work better together. So I would like to learn about what you're hearing from the customers in terms of utilizing the native services as well as the surround story that enhances the SAP's experience. There are four topic areas that you want to deep dive into: compute, security, data, and Power Platform. So today, mainly we'll be concentrating on the first two, compute and security. And then in the next episode, we'll talk more about data and Power Platform. So when we talk about compute, what are you hearing from customers, Nathan? How do you see compute along with the Better Together story?
Ravi, I think that we've beaten to death the compute around making sure you've got certified VMs and the number that we have there, and that you're using the right storage with either premium or ANF or Ultra or whatever makes sense, right? I think that one of the things that we hear from customers is that, yes, we have to check the box there. But if the idea is that we're just talking about, will SAP run on Azure? If the idea is just around the IaaS approach of blinking lights on the server, then we're kind of missing the point, right? Because I think that the idea is, yes, we can absolutely run SAP inside of Azure, and we feel like we do it really well. I think that a number of customers, though, want to know more. Like on the compute side, what are more things that we're doing? And I think you said it right, Ravi, that it's kind of like the cloud native things. Like, what are stuff that we're baking in inside of Azure that can help run and provide managed services type support for an SAP environment? You know, we've touched a little bit on automation, and there's a lot of things that we're doing there. A couple other of my favorite ones, you know, the Azure Monitor for SAP, it's got some great bells and whistles. And I think it's one of those products, Ravi, we've talked about it, that if customers are out there using a third-party product that they like, the nice thing about it, even in like the hybrid approach, is that a lot of those tools will actually integrate to Azure Monitor. And then a lot of them are extending that out for the SAP side. So even if you're doing an on-prem monitoring, a lot of those tools will hook into Azure Monitor for SAP specifically to be able to get access to all that information. So it's kind of like you have a choice, right? A lot of customers may already have an organization that's responsible for monitoring infrastructure across all their landscapes. Well, we also find is that may be true, but we typically also see a company that may have an organization that's responsible for providing or SAP monitoring. We give you the ability to kind of marry those two things together with that Azure Monitor.
I like the story together. Like you were saying, anybody can host SAP. What are we doing besides hosting SAP, right? And I do have a great customer example wherein right from the beginning, their go-to move was anything that works in Azure out of the box or all the native tools, they wanted to use that. Couple of examples include monitoring or backup tooling. So their take was, when we move to Azure, we'll start with evaluating native tools. If that meets our need, that's the first go-to option.
Yeah, and Ravi, you just brought it up. That Azure backup is a great story too. The reason I tell my customers too, and I'm sure you're like this as well, Ravi, that we say continue to watch the cloud native products, because Azure backup is one of those tools that has just gotten so much better over time. Like the ability to do bigger, better, faster roadmaps to snapshots. The point is a lot of the cloud native tools are continuing to get better. Azure backup is one of those.
The feature that we're talking about that continues to evolve, that comes from the customer feedback itself.
Another one of the cloud native things that I'm seeing more of is I really like the whole story around the Azure IoT and that IoT hub. I think that's been set up really well. And I know there's a lot of hooks into SAP. I think even SAP's IoT pieces are hooking into this, or the reverse of that the Azure IoT is collecting the information and then submitting it over to some of the predictive analytics tools inside of SAP to be able to do like the preventive maintenance kind of things. But again, cloud native, right? It's baked in to where you can capture either the IoT or the historian data and flow it through Azure IoT to be able to push it over to a tool to help you out with predictive analytics, if you will. Another area under what I would call kind of a compute area that I typically just see with customers is, you know, when you migrate to the cloud, if we're doing SAP to SAP communication, I think you're still going to want to leverage process orchestration to do that, or process integration, whichever you've got, the POPI. or whatever it's called today, the HANA cloud integration, right? Or the cloud connector. I mean, you're going to have tools that you want to leverage from SAP for the SAP to SAP communication. But what I'm finding is a lot of our customers want a little bit more updated approach to interfaces when they move to the cloud. The topic of Azure integration has come up with pretty much every customer that I have as they're moving into Azure. And when I say Azure integration, I typically think of that as being made up of three different products. One is Logic Apps, which has a lot of hooks into SAP, Service Bus, and Azure API Management. My point is that when you get into the cloud, I'm finding that a lot of customers want to update what the environment looks like update how they're going to handle integrations. Ravi, are you seeing anything else around the compute story that kind of fits in here?
I think we pretty much covered it. I wanted to highlight Logic Apps is one of my favorite ones too. Besides the SAP connector, it has so many other connectors that I've been using it for my personal projects also.
Yeah, so that's great.
Let's talk about our second topic, which is security. When I think of security, it's like, what is Azure doing in the security space and what can customer do or what tools Azure provides to enable the customer side? We always talk about Azure spends billions of dollars every year. So Azure is more secure than on-premises. How does that play into the field?
Yeah, you tell me, Ravi. I mean, let's talk about that for a second. Because look, it is very constant that Microsoft says they spend $1 billion a year in doing security. I think a lot of that is just protecting the cloud. But Ravi, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you toured a Microsoft data center?
I've been trying to since I joined. I haven't gotten a chance yet. Have you?
There's a virtual tour. You can get on and see a virtual tour. But tell me behind that. Talk to me a little bit about physical security.
When you talk about security, people often forget about physical security or equipment disposal. What happens, you know, at the physical location? So at the very top of the layer, Azure doesn't disclose where the data center is. That's like not knowing is a little bit more secure, I guess, in that sense. They do disclose the location, as in which state or which particular area it's in. But if you drive by that area, you'd never know. It's not labeled or anything. If you wanted to go to the data center.
It's like a proctologist exam. You got to go through a lot is the point. You've got to do a lot of checks and balances to make sure you are who you say you are. You've got to have a physical invitation, if you will. It's got to be sponsored, if you will, to make it through. Physical security is really important on these things, for sure, just for that protection.
Yeah, that's right. So not only the data center protection thing, but also how do we dispose our equipment, whatever gets old? What's the data protection there? How do we raise the data? Or how do we handle compliance? You know, if a disk has gone bad, how do we make sure the data is erased and it's still compliant with all the regulations? So a lot of things go behind the scenes that we don't think about. Think of a customer isolation, the optical fiber that goes in through that creates the network. But on top of that, Azure has a logical overlay over the physical network that creates a separation between the customers. So the two customers are not interchanging with each other. If you move a little bit up, you talk about distributed denial of service attack. Azure has our bigger network. We make sure we are protected from the attacks, bigger attacks. And if we do find something, we take actions immediately to protect all our customers.
Yeah, I think that's something that I don't think I really recognized that Microsoft was doing that until I came to work here. Right. And I think it's something that's important that you don't really think about. I mean, you go into some of these cyber centers and you see like the security center that Microsoft has. And I have seen some of those where they're out there and you see people taking action. And what I mean by that is if Microsoft identifies an attack and is happening at one or more of our customers, they take action to remediate it for that customer, but also trying to protect the rest of Azure. So it's like it's protecting everybody, not just one.
Yeah, there's AI models that run in the background that flags any suspicious activity. That reminds me, a couple of days ago, I was listening to a podcast that talked about the SolarWinds hack and how they actually found out about it. It was a supply chain attack. And you know, there was a user who logged in with a different phone number. And they asked that user, did he change the phone number? It may seem very obvious or boring thing, like if I am a user, I may change my phone number, right? And if I log in with a different phone number, it's not necessarily that kind of suspicious. But when you are a company like Microsoft or you're a security company, something as small as that can be a red flag.
When I started thinking about the Microsoft umbrella or the blanket, I think about the old, what's the old movie with Tom Cruise? You can't handle the truth, whatever. It's like you live under the blanket of security that I provide, whatever it is. But the point is I think Microsoft does provide a blanket that people who think that they can last out in an environment by themselves and provide better security than what any of the cloud providers are, I think you're delusional. So let's talk a little bit about customer-specific type security. And obviously, there's an easy button on that one with Microsoft, and we've talked about it before, but Azure Active Directory. I think that in some of the discussions I've had with CFOs, especially if a company is doing, let's say, B2B type stuff or business-to-business type communications, the ability to have Microsoft be responsible for saying that that person through Azure Active Directory is who they say they are, there's a tremendous amount of value in that handshake and putting that indemnity over to Microsoft and Azure Active Directory as that tool to say, yes, it's been validated that that person is who they say they are. I think there's an immense amount of power associated with that. And when we talk about that with SAP and the ability to do native single sign-on across not only your localized apps, but also do single sign-on communications up to even the SAP SaaS products like SuccessFactors or Ariba or any of the cloud for whatever, you know, cloud for customer or e-commerce or whatever the term is they call it today, whatever SaaS product SAP has. The point is you've got the ability to hook that into single sign-on with Azure Active Directory. And I think that has a lot of power because, you know, what's the old saying or the new saying, Ravi, that identity is the new security?
Yeah, whenever I think about security, identity is big in the security space, not only for authentication, but for authorization too. Authentication is just saying who you are. But since it's told me who you are, what kind of access do you have? If everybody is going to have isolated access. They call it RBAC, role-based access control, that can be managed by AAD. And on top of that, you can layer PIM, privileged identity management. So let's say I need an elevated access. But do I need an elevated access for all my life or do I need it only for 5 minutes? And if I do need it for 5 minutes, who's going to approve it?
Yeah, and we've brought that up before. I think that my favorite part about that one, Ravi, is when we've talked about this before, is if somebody has an authorization or authority over an environment that they accidentally do something, not malicious, but they just accidentally delete a resource group that happens to contain productive environments or something like that, right? So I think there was a whole discussion that I really like around managing that RBAC and you deciding if you're going to have a separation either by subscription or whatever of who actually has access to prod and non-prod. Do you separate those things? And on top of that, I think you and I had talked about even creating different accounts that have different roles. So that if you're actually doing something that you need a high level of power, either you're leveraging a firefighter kind of approach or you're leveraging even a whole nother ID for certain functions just to make sure that somebody doesn't do something accidentally or you check in and check out that authorization.
Yeah, exactly. So from industry point of view, what do you see some of the other customers looking to use?
For security layer?
It's Active Directory, of course.
I think there's a good story around encryption. That's kind of getting to be a little bit of a check the box that you just kind of have to have it, right? So that either the encryption at rest or encryption of the VM or encryption of the database, I don't think customers get excited about it. They just have to have it. And I think it was always interesting for me coming from another company where we provided hosting services, how encryption for us used to always be so expensive. Like we used to always tout it as being like very expensive. And when you get to Azure, it's kind of a checkbox. It's just kind of baked into everything. I would say too, Ravi, another interesting thing that is gaining a lot of traction with customers, Azure Virtual Desktop is really taking off. I mean, there's been customers who are out there with Citrix, and I think VMware has some products. And long story short, customers, especially if you want to have an approach where you're shipping out almost like dumb terminals and you want to be able to leverage a virtual desktop and control your costs of managing PCs and devices, there's some significant value in leveraging Azure Virtual Desktop. And I've seen a big uptick in conversations and customers who really want to learn more about that. And
is that the new name for Windows Virtual Desktop?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. It's Windows Virtual Desktop. They rebranded it. We're getting as bad as SAP is about rebranding things. But I believe it's called Azure Virtual Desktop, which is really what was the Windows Virtual Desktop. Ravi, you make fun of us for always saying Azure this and Azure that. It is putting a virtual desktop inside of Azure. And of course, it's going to have all the bells and whistles that you would expect around segregating compute. I am not an expert here, but I think it's like how many users can you put on each machine, and it can slice and dice that environment to control your compute and control your investment so that you can leverage shared resources and individual memory and storage through like OneNote and all that kind of fun stuff. But I'm seeing customers who are really spending a lot of time on that. And I've also seen a dramatic increase in customers wanting to learn more about Microsoft Defender, which is more of the antivirus slash endpoint protection of devices.
So I do know that recently we launched something with Sentinel and it has an SAP connector. Do you know more about that?
So Azure Sentinel is Microsoft's answer for the SIEM. I don't even know what that stands for. The Security Information Something Management. I'm not a security guy. But Sentinel has kind of been our answer for providing a SIEM tool. And I think that there's, you know, very good things that go into having that security to be able to take action against. But
is that a parallel of enterprise threat detection, SAP ETD?
I was just getting to that. That's a good point. So SAP does have a product they call ETD, Enterprise Threat Detection. And this is similar to that. I don't want to act like it's going to have solution parity because I haven't really played with that product from SAP. But what Sentinel does and what this SAP connector has right now is it gives us the ability to pull a lot of those logs or a lot of those events that actually happen internal to SAP. So if there was a security breach or security action that triggered an alert inside of your transaction system, usually or normally that would still retain in that system. With this SAP connector, what it does is it identifies the issue, whether it's somebody's password that they tried too many attempts or, you know, maybe somebody was doing something with a sales order that they shouldn't have and you've got a rule that would trigger an alert, whatever it is. We actually have the ability to trigger that alert and read those logs and have it sent over to Sentinel so that you have a centralized group that can take action against it, either create a ticket or, you know, spin up a SWAT team to go attack the person at their home, depending on what they're doing. My point is it's centralizing that security approach and that security model by actually pulling data out of SAP, yeah, which is pretty nice, right? Wouldn't you say, Robbie?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a couple of years ago, I was at SAP TechEd and they were launching a new product for data governance and Azure was the first platform to launch that. Do you remember what tool that was? We were talking about it yesterday.
It's going to come to me as soon as you look it up. It's Data Custodian.
Data Custodian, yes.
Yeah, so, just another thing, Data Custodian is another one of those SAP tools to kind of track where the information is. I think it, like everything else, Ravi, SAP will stand it up in a cloud and make it available in other clouds too. I would say typical customers are always going to leverage Azure Security Center to go look for recommendations or any threats that are happening all across Azure, and they get some alerts inside of the Security Center. I think Sentinel takes that a step further, and then you can continue to extend it out to other security layers, whether it's Azure Virtual Desktop or Defender, all the way through the identity back to Azure Active Directory. So I think that that'll be a good segue for us to kind of cut this off here, except for thinking that, yeah, security, that security blanket does actually cover all of my, or should cover all of my approach to the Microsoft products, not just one little area.
Yes, that's correct. All right, so it's Friday afternoon. I'm going to be sipping my tequila here in a little bit.
You're going to be sucking on my cough drops. Don't give me that stuff. Come on.
And talking about tequila, I heard a podcast yesterday that drinking the tequila in one shot is not the way to go. Or if you're using a real tequila from Tequila in Mexico, you sip it. You don't drink it as a whole.
Well, that's like the, I'm a rum guy, right? So I actually like Bacardi 8. You know, I have some friends of mine who are snobs who will only drink Zacapa. I do like Zacapa XO, which is like they serve it in a, it comes out in a cognac bottle. It's really nice. I prefer Bacardi 8 even over that, but that's a sipping rum. So I'm a cheap guy that I like rum, but I like to sip my rum. So you got to get the expensive stuff.
All right, I got to try that too. All right, talk to you later.
Bye, Robbie.